Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and good morning, good morning. We glorify the name of Jesus. We honor him for his beauty and for his holiness. We honor him for the great work of the cross and the power of the resurrection. We thank him that he has chosen us and he has chosen to be our good shepherd. Hallelujah. You have tuned in to Words from the Word, and I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio under the direction of Laborers for Christ Word Life Center, where our visionary and pastor is the Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton. We are blessed to be a part of a ministry with a vision to reach those for Christ on a 24-hour basis. We are live and on the Blog Talk radio stations, three of them, with panel discussions and groups and Bible study, inspirational music, teaching and preaching, and all kinds of information and prayer to be accessible to the public anytime. We thank you for joining us this morning. We are walking through the Psalm 23. We're looking at a shepherd's view as put forth in the inspirational writing of Philip Keller. Good morning to everybody. You're live and you're on the air. Good morning. This is an interactive time, and we rejoice in those who have come to share with us. We want to start the morning off, if we can, Elder Roberta, with a morning prayer of praise and worship. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. So, Father, we come this morning thanking you for this day, Father God, a new day of life, health, and strength, a new day, Father God, of your grace and your mercy toward us, Father God. We thank you for word from the word on today, Father God, and we desire, Father God, to be enlightened on today and fed spiritually so, Father God, and getting a glimpse, Father God, of the good shepherd, Father God, that you are unto us, Master. We just thank you even now for Overseer Paulette, Father God, and we thank you for Apostle in giving this vision, Father God, for your people. But, Father, you desire that we be fed daily and that we take from your fountain, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So we bless you and we praise you on today, and we pray, Father God, that something will be said where people that are listening, Father God, and partaking on this morning will be encouraged, will be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. We have everybody, you're live, you're on the air, and we say good morning to you as we take an intimate walk of the Good Shepherd, with the Good Shepherd, a walk into intimacy with the Good Shepherd. We've looked in recent Friday sessions at The Lord is My Shepherd, which we saw as David's boast. He was boasting and testifying and witnessing to who he belonged to. He belonged to the Good Shepherd. And then we went to I Shall Not Want, a declaration of contentment, whether monetary or spiritual, he would not want, because he was in the capable, loving, and powerful hands of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd eliminated any concerns that the sheep might have as they started their journey. And so David summarized the whole journey in the first stanza of "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so he says it all when he says, "I shall not want." There are so many things that sheep need. And David was aware of that because he himself was a shepherd. But he felt after his intimate journey with God that it was God in that place of shepherding that he humanly and naturally had been in, and he realized he himself was the sheep. He associated himself with the sheep as opposed to the shepherd, is what I was, you know, trying to communicate. And so as he did this, he summarized everything when he said, "I shall not want." He knew how needy and all of the many, many, many things that sheep need because of their temperament, because of their characters, because of the journey itself, because of the enemies to the sheep. He was aware of all of those things, and he knew how, he knew the end at the beginning when he penned this song, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A wonderful, wonderful, powerful statement that if we just even just meditated on those two phrases of the 23rd Psalm, our Holy Spirit will bring into our remembrance and our understanding the power that they possess when we just make that declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." What a word we're sending to the enemy. What a word we are sending to our flesh. What a word we're sending to our circumstances. And what a word we're sending to our generations. He will cause you to not want or lack anything, any good thing, whether it's material or emotional, spiritual, professional, educational, medical. It is no thing that you will lack. Praise God. Praise God. The word tells us, they says, "I've seen, you know, all these things, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken." He understood the commitment and the covenant that the shepherd was making for the sheep. He also understood the price that shepherd had to pay. He understood that price was not just in money, but that shepherd has to lay down his life. He has to give his all. He himself had to make the journey in order to know which way to steer the sheep, to know what was going to be at a certain point in their journey when they got there and what needed to happen when they were there. Sometimes he had to prepare the way very physically for the sheep, and he had to anticipate and have all knowledge of the terrain that they were going to be walking in and those enemies that were natural to them. And even he had to know the agenda of the enemy so he would know how best to take care of his sheep. Our shepherd has not left out anything when it comes to his commitment to us, when it comes to even the power that he has to fulfill that commitment, and then the love that he has that has established that commitment. And that commitment is an eternal one. He's not just promising those things and committed to us for an eternity, but also here on earth, for there is no thing that is greater or beyond his power. And our good shepherd has gone forth and sat back, because There's no bragging in the life of the shepherd. There is no speaking in the life of the shepherd. The sheep speak for the shepherd, because as they others observed the sheep and saw they weren't acting like the average sheep that's timid, that's frightened, helpless, that have all of these diseases and illnesses and needs, and they're looking phenomenal, then it's our look that will testify to the glory of our shepherd, which is why David, as a sheep, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any insights and revelation on that which we have done up till this point? For the word is always working and growing and developing and bringing its power in a picture that then comes before us, that convinces us and transforms our thinking in different areas that we are in a season for. You are live and you're on the air. You can take your phone off speaker and share with us. We're grateful for the journey that started with in David's psalm, the first place being lying down in green pastures. First, we need to look at the fact that green pastures, I believe the author shares with us the fact that generally great sheep country of the world are dry and semi-arid areas. And though most of the sheep flourish best in this sort of terrain because they're so susceptible to so many health hazards and parasites and that sort of thing where dry climate is. But in those same regions, it is neither natural nor common to find green pastures. So he gives the example of the area of Palestine, and those that have gone there surely will know. Wrote that the Psalms kept where he kept his father's flock, especially near Bethlehem, is a dry, brown, sunburned wasteland. So green pastures didn't just happen by chance. I love this. Because it takes us back to our, and we're looking at on page 35. It's taking us back to our study of the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want to share what the author has written here. He says, green pastures did not just happen by chance. Green pastures were the product of tremendous labor, time, and skill in land use. Green pastures were the result of clearing rough, rocky land. Now, does that sound familiar? Of tearing out bush and roots and stumps, of deep plowing and careful soil preparation, and then here it comes, of seeding and planting special grain. That's the word planted in the heart of us. That is our gardener clearing those four, or preparing those four soils for his word so that we could flourish. I love it that the studies are built they're built upon one another. One of the things I would like for us to look at as we go through this particular chapter is, again, it includes one of the next sayings of Christ after resurrection, see if you can find that, the seven sayings, the spiritual discipline, see if you can find where that becomes essential in the life of the sheep, and then the fruit of the Spirit, which I gave the part about the soil, but there are other places along this intimate journey that starts with green pastures that include these teachings. And we just thank God, because that's all a part of God's plan. Now, who can make a plan like that? There's no one but our God who is able to do that for generations of his children. So we starting our look, and we want to see one of the other areas we want to always be aware of and be searching for is the role. The author in the beginning puts forth as part of the goal of this writing is so that we can see the goal and so that we can see the role that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and us play in this journey into intimacy. Again, you are live and on the air. Just chime in at any time. It's a blessing to hear from the people and to share and to dialogue. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was looking at that passage before you read it, Overseer.
Yes.
And I was going.
There you go.
I was going to say, when I read it, I was thinking about our lives. You know, I was saying God develops green pastures in our lives as we travel through life. And he has to remove, you know, rocky things and things that's not of his use from our lives and the path that we choose to go down and, you know, till the soil in our life that we may be used, can be used for him. So, I was looking at that, and then I was thinking when we don't feed up on his word, our lives can remain barren and become infested by the enemy with his accusations of God. And in choosing not to feed daily upon his word, which feeds our souls, our hearts, and our minds, the infestation begins to, you know, just get worse and worse. And then we find ourselves in many dilemmas that is not healthy for us. So then we have no other recourse later on once we realize what has happened but to fall on our knees and cry out to him, because at that point we find out that he only is our help, not the things that we chose to follow, because the author points out many times we as a people, we seek everything but God for the longing in our souls, you know, education and traveling and indulging in many things that's not good for us. As the sheep, you know, they as they were going down the mountain, and he mentioned about the crystal water, you know, there, but some of the sheep and some of the babies, they decided to stop and drink out of the contaminated water.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that result from doing that doesn't manifest itself right away, but eventually it does. So it's very the book and reading it, you find a lot of comparison to us and the sheep, and it's really amazing. It's really amazing how God gave him this revelation.
Amen. And we are grateful that he penned this and put it in the book so that we could be blessed and receive from it. And that it is so, it so unfolds ourselves. It exposes ourselves to us, to who we really are. And when we see it in something else, we see it more clearly and we go, why would the sheep do that? And yet it's exactly what we do. I love the parallel about laying down in this green pasture and the fact that it had been prepared, but it also indicates just because of the very nature of the sheep, that's how they were made, it's almost impossible for them to lay down unless the book shares with us unless four requirements are met. And it's these requirements that become those teaching moments, those purging moments, those ever-present moments in our life where the Good Shepherd transforms not our surroundings as he did with the green pastures, but he transforms us. And so the first thing the point out about the nature of the sheep is the fact that they're very timid. And they refuse to lay down unless they are free from all fear. I'll just read the four things, and then we'll go back and look at each one and compare them. And then it says, because of social behavior within a flock of sheep, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with the other sheep. And then three, if they are tormented by parasites or flies, sheep cannot lay down. It's only when they're free of these pests can they relax. And lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel a need of finding food. So if they're hungry, they won't lay down. And so it's the sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravation, and hunger is established. Until that is established, that freedom from those things, the sheep won't lay down. The sheep will not rest. Another, I think, interesting thing about the sheep is once they go down, I think we had mentioned it last week, in such a way, it's very difficult for them to get up again. And the fact that a sheep, they have no defense against anything. They don't have none of their predators, natural predators, do they have a defense against, except to run away. And so they're always, when they're standing, instead of resting, they're in a position where they just want to run. They don't know where to run. They don't have the wisdom of how to get away from. All they know is to run. And so they run in, as you were saying, all different directions that even is not helpful for them, and rather it's harmful. And so all of these things that have to be in place before the sheep will even lay down. So when David is saying, you know, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he is indicating it is not something that I on my own can naturally do. I can't lay down in green pastures. I have to be made to lie down. And this making to be down comes from the work and the presence of the Good Shepherd. Because in all of these scenarios, the bottom line is, when the sheep senses the close presence of the shepherd, they calm down. And it is interesting how they calm down in each one of these different areas very differently. And so the first area we're going to look at is that how intimidated they are, how timid and a nervous, like, wreck they are at the least sign of the unknown or something that's different. The author put down an example of he had a visitor, and when the visitor got out the car, they had a little chihuahua. And that just that presence, I believe, of that little dog shot the sheep. And you get these big sheep who are running amok, you know, and some being injured just because of this little it was a pickaninny, I believe he said. And so the dog wasn't threatening them. Pardon?
Page
24, 25. Page 24 at the bottom. Page 24. Okay.
Okay, we want to look at
also on page 29. You said about when I invited a few friends over, he's referring back to that incident, you know, and it said he was always clear, good, and from that point on, he had to tell the people not to come with, you know, any strange animals, not to make these moves, fast moves around these sheep, because it could cause a stampede that would, you know, injure and kill, you know, a great portion of the sheep, because they are so timid, because they are suspicious of any danger from anything, because they have no means of self-defense, and they feel so helpless and feeble till their only recourse they know of is to run. And so they're very easily panicked. And the only thing that will cause them to arrest that panic is when the shepherd appears. He can calm them, and they are reassured that the terror will subside, just like in the Christians, where there's no substitute for the awareness of the Lord God near us. No matter what the situation is that catches us off guard, no matter what the circumstances are that come upon us quickly and instantly, the minute we are focused to hear his voice of peace be still, and this is one of those part of that seven next words of Christ when he rose, that peace that he gives us, it calms and it gets them into a mindset of the known thing is Christ. Now, what the other unknown is, and the panic that it could have produced, is dispelled by the presence of the shepherd. As God has given us not the fear, but of power and of love and of for sound mind. This sound mind is the thing that gives us the peace and puts us at ease. So that we, and I love this scripture, it became real to me really this year when I had seen it and I just rejoice in it. It says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And that's just the power, anointing of the word of God to create an environment of peace so that we can lay down. How many sleepless nights have we had? How many times are we not even just sleep, but just unable to relax, to lay down and relax, but we're always tense and aware of, not even aware of, but looking for this and looking for that, just on edge, not in a panic state, but in an anxious state. And he says, be anxious for nothing. And those are the words that bring the presence of our good shepherd in our life, as the very presence of the shepherd bring it into the lives of the sheep. And so they will not lay down. They cannot lay down. They will stand up and try to and they will stand up and not rest as they are anticipating, well, I have to run. And so they will, because it's difficult for the sheep to stand up. So I enjoy that analogy because, you know, when you think of the little dog, a pickaninny, and you think of a big lamb, and that's a big creature, you know, you also can associate that with our little problem as it looks, as it looks like to our big God. And so it almost becomes like, oh, well, yeah, okay, you know, because he can handle it. And there's no danger, there's no panic necessary, because it's definitely something that he can handle. Okay?
Yeah.
Then in the second, any insights, sharing on that first?
I was looking at that, too, as how sometimes people that have been called to, the Lord has called to do certain things, how when he mentioned about his sheep with lamb, you know, if dogs chase them, they're so easily to abort the lambs because
mm-hmm.
they're so, like you say, nervous and fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those that have been called are so fearful and nervous to step out and do what God has called them to do. And you know, the enemy gets behind them and whispers in their ears negative things. And so I was thinking that, you know, when that type of thing happens in our lives, how the ministry is aborted because of the fearfulness to step out and do that which God is requiring.
Oh, amen. Now, you jumped ahead to the next one, the social behavior. And it's true, because of the social behavior within
mm-hmm.
the flock of sheep, they will not mm-hmm. lay down unless they're free from friction with each other. And it's
mm-hmm.
very interesting that is part of that's the part that we play, the part
mm-hmm.
of the timidness and being resting from those unknown things. That's the part that God the Father plays with his love.
Mm-hmm.
His
mm-hmm.
love will dispel all fear. Then with this social behavior, that becomes part of our involvement in this walk, in this move of intimacy. And the nature of the sheep is a pecking order, as it is in us. They have rivalry, and those that are bigger and their horns are bigger and older and stronger will bunt the younger ones, pushing them out the way, moving them from the good part of the land while they're eating. They will bully their way and push them aside. I mean, there's a bunting order that gets to the point where they actually lock horns, and we've heard that statement before. And these sheep within themselves have a pecking order. They call it a horning order because a lot of it is done by the size of their horn. And it is a picture of this process that is given us in Ezekiel 34. I love that. And we're going to look at Ezekiel 34, 15 through 16, and then 20 through 22. So as long as the sheep know they're aggravated because they've been fighting, or they're aggravated because they've been pushed around, or they're aggravated because now they've been wounded, because some of the younger and the weaker ones are actually wounded by this bunting of the head on them, moving them out and pushing them from going forward into a place. As you said, you know, they have a fear, and that's part of that fear is the response of the others around them. Are they, you know, will they be able to do that, you know, or how do they get the confidence to go forth because of the presence of those that are struggling and I don't want to say struggling, but they're striving to obtain something, or they have obtained something, and they feel self-assured in the in the circle of the sheep. And so they think more of themselves, more highly of themselves than they should. And as a result, they think they have the right to suppress others, whether it's maybe not bunting horns, but it could be words that are said. It could be a walk or a look. It can be, you know, you can, one of the things that I love the scripture that leaders and speakers often run to is this, when Christ said, God told, I think it was either Moses or Joshua, don't look at their foreheads. Don't look at them, because that is a place that they communicate certain things that would hold you back. But if you don't look at it, you know, is that forehead? Is that bunting? Is that, that's the nature of sheep to do. He's saying, don't look at it, look for me. And that's what they do. That's what has to happen, because this is where the shepherd, the Lord Jesus in us, will look for these instances amongst the flock, and it is up to us to put an end to it, to put a stop to it, just as you say, to be the one to try to help usher, you know, another sheep into the right place. It is up to us to be able to speak out in the ministry of one another, to do the mandates that we're admonished to do, as we read in through the spiritual discipline book. And so this is the place where it is the flock that is providing actually the problem to one another, and the shepherd must quell that, you know, just stop that right in the, and he does it, Christ does it with his word and his mandate in our life, in the lives of these sheep. He actually, in and of itself, he takes disciplinary action with these sheep that are doing the bunting. So the actual shepherd and the sheep, he will apply discipline to them to let them know what you're doing is not going to be tolerated in this flock. I am the shepherd, and I will administer the order, if you will, of blessings in the life of these sheep and not you. And so God loves those he loves, he chastens, he chastens. And there are times at this point where the last shall be first, because those that have been put to the bottom, if you will, on the pecking order of the sheep, they will get the most attention, because he will view their helplessness, their woundedness. He will embrace them. He will bless them and grace them. And you will be, and those that are initiating this discourse, and discourse amongst the sheep, they will be getting disciplined in love, yet disciplined nonetheless. And so this is something that the shepherd looks out for, and also it is something for us that the shepherd in us, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus in us, in the ministry of the one another, will use to bring the flock to a place of thriving, of growing, of developing, and of spiritual to spiritual maturity. And that is all of the role of the good shepherd. And this is what David has identified, and this is what the shepherd must do. And it's only at that point where we rest in a word that God has given us, and we'll go forth in it. But we're resting in him. That fear of the friction, we're free from the friction of others around us, and we only experience the love of the one another, and that will cause us to become at ease and to be resting in his word. And so that's the second thing that has to be established before sheep will lay down in green pastures. So we've looked at the fact that they're fearful and they're timid. Now they are very susceptible to social behavior. And now, on the third thing, is they're tormented by flies and parasites. And unless this is met, if they're not free from these pests, they cannot relax. Now, these are spirits. These are those spirits that are just waiting to always bug us, to always be there making, you know, our day a challenging one. Just small, and they're not small, but they are challenges that test us. There are challenges that keep us on edge. There are challenges, especially one after another after another. And I don't know if you've ever seen flies around animals. There are like hundreds of them. So it's not one or two things that are annoying these sheep, but sometimes there are thousands or even millions, depending on how big of a herd it is, that will hover and come around these sheep. And what they're doing is they're looking for places in the head of the sheep to lay their eggs, in their head, in their mind. And that's what happens with these things, these spirits that are just, we say, you know, that just bugs me, or that person bugs me, you know. But what that is doing is it's a spirit that's taking away from our place of peace in Christ and our ability to be used by him as well, okay? Because if we are annoyed in a certain area, we're not going to focus on him and his will or others. We're focusing on ourselves because it's the lack of that selflessness that's taking over our situation and where we are. And so we become not consumed, but we become challenged. And, you know, you had a day where this went wrong and then that went wrong, and you're in a season, God, I'm doing your will. I got your peace. I got my purpose, you know, and my heart is fixed, and here I go. And then someone, you know, the spirit will stick a foot out there and make you stumble, not fall, because he'll keep you from falling, but he'll make you stumble. And then as you stumble, how about what comes out of your mouth? Is it a praise or is it a cursing? These are all these little things that the enemy is trying to do. And then after you don't do that and you don't do that, because God will put a guard over our mouth, okay, all of these things start kicking in place. Everything God needs for us to stay on this path, to get to this place of intimacy with him, he is right there to give it to us, to provide it for us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ah, now we're talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. Well, the way the shepherd does this is with oil on the head of the sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit is so often referred to and seen through that anointing oil. And that's what he does. That anointing oil, as it is applied to the sheep, will cause those pests and those parasites to not be able to lay eggs, number one, nor will they be able, they want to come around them. It's interesting because it says that in order to meet this problem, the shepherd has to be prepared with specific and various types of insect repellent to put on the sheep. So it is not something that's haphazard. This is something that the shepherd already knows is going to happen. He knows the kinds of of parasites, and he actually lists them as it relates to the sheath, and he lists them, as he says, nasal flies, spot flies, warble flies, and ticks. So these are the things that he has already peeked out, if you will. These are the things that are going to be attacking my sheep. So each one has a variety of repellents that are needed, and there are a variety of what? You know, gifts and ministries in the body of Christ that are needed for these sheep at these at specific times, because he even knows where these where the onslaught of these insects are and when they're most likely to attack the sheep. Well, he's already made arrangements and provisions for that, and we'll see later on in later chapters exactly how he does this. But he also shows that they, because of ticks, they get all in the hair. Now, those are those canine things that just make you itch all over. They just won't let you be at ease because there's just these annoyances and or people that are there or situations that won't change or circumstances that you can't control. You don't really see it coming, but you know, or saw it when it came, but you know that it's there. And so it's these ticks all in the wool, in the skin of the sheep, and we'll see it later on. But one of the solutions that the shepherd has at this point, he says he knows where there are shelter belts of trees and bushes available where they can find refuge and release from these tormentors. Now, I looked at that sheltered belts of trees as churches, a place to go where you can find relief and refuge in Him.
Yes.
A bush available where you can find relief. We have so much that the Good Shepherd has provided for us. And as we see them in this walk of a Good Shepherd through the 23rd Psalm, we come to appreciate what the Shepherd has in place. And so it's during those times of aggravation and those times where the parasites are just, you know, making our mind, and they're not necessarily physical insects, but they are spirits, the place to go to for refuge is the church. Come into the house of the Lord, where the power of prayer falls down. Not that it doesn't fall down in other places, but as two or three are joined together, because that's what it says, shelter belts of trees, not single individual trees, but trees that are belted, and it's one of them, they're connected. They're right there together in that same soil, and they're providing the shelter and the relief and the refuge that the sheep need to lay down and be free from that fear of the parasites, to be the pest, and relax. One of the things he shared with us is even the fact what the sheep do when this happens and these parasites are upon them, they will bunt each other's heads, thereby spreading whatever disease may come through these parasites. They will also just stomp and stomp and stomp, and they often run their heads into to rocks to try to relieve themselves of the torment of these pests. And it's so indicative of what we do when these spirits are attacking us. And if we don't know, if we don't know how to go, if we don't know how to use the equipment, which is why God said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So if we don't know how to fight this this attack, then we will do those things that bring us harm, and oftentimes bring as much harm as the parasites themselves, as the spirits themselves. But more importantly, we will do those things that then will not encourage those that are watching our journey, those that are viewing our walk, the other sheep around us. We will aggravate them. We will agitate them. We will cause them to be fearful. We will cause them to try to fix it themselves instead of surrendering to the hand of the good shepherd as he applies the oil and the insect repellent upon them. And so those are some of the areas that will be gone through in more detail. As you can remember the 23rd Psalms, when he anoints my head with oil, when we get to those parts, we'll see even more in more detail of exactly what the shepherd is doing on behalf of the sheep. And so that is the third thing that the sheep must be freed from in order to lay down. And then the last thing, the sheep must be free from hunger. For if they are hungry, they will feel they need to obviously be standing up and finding those green pastures to eat. Not to rest in, but to eat. And that is something that if we look at it, when if they feel that hunger and they feel the need to find food or else they won't lay down, will they be eating their blessings? Because the blessing comes in resting at this point in the green pastures, not eating the green pastures, but resting in them. Resting to rejuvenate what will naturally come within their bodies and not eating to consume. So it is the shepherds, the good shepherds' responsibility to make sure they are fed so that they may rest. So we feed and we feed on the word of God. And that's what will cause us to rest, to lay down in these green pastures as all of these areas will have been attended to on our behalf so that we can then be made to lie down in the green pastures that have been provided for us.
Amen. Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning. Good morning, Elder. Yes.
As you were going through this, the imagery in this is just outstanding. And
Jesus, yes.
I thought it was interesting that it was four. You know, generally we see things in groups of threes or fives or seven, but that there were four things. And what you just said, the whole idea of feeding on the word, because in conjunction with some of the other studies, the fear factor being, you know, number one, not having that peace of God that comes with, you know, being close to the Father. The author talks about when they were talking about the infighting, that whole pecking order, that's a natural kind of like our flesh, like our soul, man. There is a striving and a warring and a divisiveness that's just in our flesh, you know, and until we work out our own soul salvation with that by resting and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, those things will continually just rear their ugly heads. And even just I never thought about the pecking order. You know, you hear that all the time. I wasn't familiar with the other two orders, the horning order, and I can't remember what the third one was, but the budding order for the sheep. But there is that whole rivalry. And I thought it was also interesting when you talked about the bottom sheep, that it gave both sides of that, that, yes, you were free from friction, but basically, like, that was a smart place to be because you are always in a closer proximity to the good shepherd. So the area, the surrounding landscape is always more peaceful than further away from, you know, wherever the good shepherd might be. Might be found. And the analogy of the belted shelter, tree belted shelter, as being the covering, you know, I think is just completely awesome because, you know, you think of a globe. So, you know, so you're enclosed, you have that. You still have what you need because even when he was talking about trying to rid themselves of some of the parasites where they might be rubbing on barks and those kinds of things and shaking their heads and stomping their feet, that, you know, you come in and the oil, you know, of the anointing is getting rid of some. You know, you're trying to do what you can do, but it's not until you come in that kind of are ministered to. And that has to be in a soft place, a safe place, you know, where you can get those that are diseased in and separated and then, you know, and then minister to me was just a very beautiful picture of God's care and concern. And then lastly, because I won't hug up your line, but the last thing I just wanted to say, just the whole idea of this is how he made the sheep, you know, that they,
yeah,
they do have woolly coats that are perfect breeding grounds for parasites. They don't have a natural defense. They, you know, do have the natural innate ability to want to have that budding order, to have that divisiveness in it. That sometimes I think we want to transform ourselves into something that we're not, as opposed to resting in exactly who we are and letting the good shepherd take care of us, because he's already made the provision, you know, by what, you know, what you've shared and what his word shares with us, that it doesn't catch him by mistake, that, you know, we go to a water hole and stick our head in, and we'll stay in so long until we drown because, you know, the water is saturated and we don't have enough sense to stop drinking, you know, because it's too good, those kinds of things. But the shepherd is just equipped with everything that he needs. So it's just an awesome, and thank you for another enlightening.
I don't mean to interrupt, but as I'm sorry, I'm just joining. But at any rate, just to come in and to hear the things that when you were saying bugging, the bugs, you know, and things can just bug us. I never read this before about the sheep, and we know how things can get under our skin, so to speak, and the enemy comes in, and when you were saying like about a tick parasite, he's the one that sucks the blood. He sucks. He don't want anything else. He just wants your blood, and he sucks until he can't suck no more. And just burst open. That's his nature. And then thinking about that, what some people will just suck the life out of you with their ways, their conversation, their attitude, their everything that's not like God, you know? And then hearing when you said, well, the sheep can't go and have somebody part the wool and oil the scalp and to get, but it is the shepherd who knows, my God, that in that head embedded in all that wool. And then how God gives the sheep, I want to say a mind to look. Okay, so they can't reach up there and scratch the hair, right? So what? Go over to that tree that's full of bark and just rub and rub until you feel satisfied. Well, you come to the anointing and you rub until you get satisfied, you know? And I mean, this is just awesome. It really is. It is just,
amen.
It is just awesome to show, to see how the role of the sheep and the shepherd and putting ourselves in that place to see how we operate. I never thought about the anointing your hair with oil. When you think about it, those parasites can't stand that oil. Not just some Crisco or sunflower seed, or it's anointed oil, a special oil that the shepherd has to get. You can't just put anything. So
yeah.
It's a special. I'm sorry?
I don't know if somebody else is trying to get in. Go ahead, otherwise. Sometimes
okay.
The phone may not be. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yes, I understand. But it's just amazing. It is just amazing. My God, to think about the sheep and the shepherd. And may I ask real quick, exactly what chapter are you on?
We are on what is called, let's see here, chapter 4, He Leadeth Me.
Okay.
We're on chapter 3. He Maketh Me Lie Down in Green Pastures. We're going to chapter 4. We're currently
okay.
On
okay.
Three. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it also shows you that the shepherd doesn't have an easy job.
No, he doesn't.
It's not an easy job.
But it is so motivated by his love.
Yeah.
And that's what to motivate us is the love of God. Nothing else can make it happen, because it was beyond. It is that love of God.
Yes,
that
He cares. He cares.
He cares so much,
my God,
that we cannot conceive of or understand that level. But Holy Spirit, that's His job, to give us a heart like God, a mind that we see things the way God sees them. And that we will see each other that way and love one another. It is such, like Elder and everybody is indicating, such a visual that brings us to be able to boast like David did. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know what all He's done for me? And I shall not want a bold text to be set. And a declaration declared by every child of God, so that the generations will know there is nothing that I have need of that He has not already provided. He's
already
went the way that I have to go. He's made it straight. He's done what I need to be done. He's given me what I need to have. He is prepared for everything, and He's doing it for me, and He will never sleep nor slumber. He will always be on the job, watching and caring for me. And it's that condition. It is that prayer. It is that praise. It is that testimony. It is that witness that as we if we say that David said it, that's when the world will take notice of us. You know, we look like very fine sheep in the pasture. The other sheep are sprouting. You know, they're bleeding. They're diseased. They're malnutrition, you know, they're angry, they're frightened, they're timid, they're all of those things, they're weak, and then here we come.
Yeah.
Full, matured, healthy, nurtured, developed, and not only us, but our offspring are following us like that.
My God.
And this is what the good shepherd does. This is why he has to discipline the lamb who keeps wanting to do wrong, because he knows her sheep are going to follow her. So he has to correct. And that's part of what the shepherd does. But that's also part of the nature of the sheep. There's always going to be those sheep in the flock that do not want to do what the shepherd wants them to do. And we have such, what do they call it? We just have such a treasure. And we don't realize it. I was going to play the song, The Alabaster Box. But we have an alabaster box, and it is full of oil. And that oil was at the cost of Jesus. That's why our alabaster box is full. You know, we may have gone through some things, but we went through them as sheep. It was the shepherd that did work. It was the shepherd that did it all. Okay?
Yeah.
Yes, we endured, but he gave us even the strength to endure. The spirit to want to, you know, the heart able to, you know, so everything was provided by the good shepherd. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
But,
praise the Lord.
You know, I was once told that, and it was meant to be comical. It was once said of me in a meeting. People were not understanding what the presenter was saying. So the lady says, "Well, I see you all are like Margaret. You need to be shown. You need something there, a visual." That's how she put it. And just as we're talking, my God, like I said, hey, I didn't take it as offense, and even more now when I really can't see the visual, I, in my spirit and in my mind, I see that shepherd standing there, and I'm knowing nothing is going to harm me because the shepherd is watching over me. My God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that's something to be excited about.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is any more insights, inspiration, information?
Well, Overseer, the very last, I know, let me say one thing. I know that we're, some of us are using different versions of the book. So that's why you have the discrepancy in the pages. If you have the standalone volume, it's a different paging than with the multi-volume.
Yes.
But the very last page where it talks about the work of the Good Shepherd and what he's doing, and you had paired that back with the fruit of the Spirit and making the ground ready to be able to be fruitful and productive. And it says in here, if I can read this for your listening audience, where it says, how he works to clear the life of rocks of stony unbelief, how he tries to tear out the roots of bitterness. He attempts to break up the hard, proud human heart that is set like sun-dried clay. He then sows the seed of his own precious word, which, if given half a chance to grow, will produce rich crops of contentment and peace. He waters this with the dews and rains of his own presence by the Holy Spirit. He tends and cares and cultivates the life longing to see it become rich and green and productive. It is all indicative of the unrelenting energy and industry of an owner who wishes to see his sheep satisfied and well-fed. It all denotes my shepherd's desire to see my best interests served. His concerns for my care is beyond my comprehension. Really, at best, all I can do is to enjoy and revel in what he has brought into effect. This life of quiet overcoming, of happy repose, of rest in his presence, of confidence in his management is something few Christians ever fully enjoy. Because of our own perverseness, we often prefer to feed on the barren ground of the world around us. And then he goes on to say, to quote him, I used to marvel at how some of my sheep would actually choose inferior forage at times, but the good shepherd has supplied green pastures for those who care to move in onto them and there find peace and plenty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I want to add to that this life work for you, because if you can get the Message Bible and read Ezekiel 34:11 and just read it till you want to stop. Because this is what, and I'm going to just read it, because this is Blog Talk Radio and we can do it. I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible, because this is the scriptural words that we just read from, that was read from Philip Keller's writing. This is what God said. God the Master says, and that's what the scripture says, from now on, I myself am the shepherd. I'm going looking for my sheep. As shepherds go after their flock when they are scattered, I am going after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places they have been scattered into in storms. I'll bring them back from foreign people, gather them from foreign countries, and bring them back to their own home country. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, along the streams, among their own people. I'll lead them into lush pasture so they can roam the mountain pastures, graze at leisure, feed in the rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make sure they get plenty of rest. I'll go after the lost. I'll collect the strays. I'll doctor the injured. I'll build up the weak ones and oversee the strong ones so that they do not offend. And as you, my dear flock, I'm stepping in and judging between one sheep and another, between ram and goat. Aren't you satisfied to feed in good pastures without taking over the whole place? Can't you be satisfied to drink from the clear stream without muddying the water with your feet? Why do the rest of the sheep have to make do with grass that's trampled down and water that's been muddled? Therefore, God, the Master, says, I myself am stepping in and making things right between the plump sheep and the skinny sheep, because you force your way with shoulder and rump and butted at all the weaker animals with your horns till you scattered them over the hills. I'm coming in and saving my dear flock. No longer let them be pushed around. I'll step in and set things right between one sheep and another. I'll appoint one shepherd over them all, my servant David. He will feed them. He will be their shepherd, and I, God, will be their God. My servant David will be their prince. I, God, have spoken it. I make a covenant of peace with them. I banish fierce animals from the country so that the sheep can live safely in the wilderness and sleep in the forest. I will make them and everything around my hill a blessing. I'll send down plenty of rain in season, showers of blessings. The trees in the orchard will bear fruit, and the ground will produce. They'll feel content and safe on their own land, and they'll realize that I, God, when I break them out of their slavery and rescue them from their slave master, no longer will they be exploited or ravaged by fierce beasts. They'll live safe and sound, fearless and free, and I'll give them rich gardens, lavish vegetables, and no more living half-starved, no longer taunted by outsiders. They'll know beyond doubting that I, God, am the God, that I with them and that they are my people, decree of God, the Master. You are my dear flock, the flock of my pastor, my human flock, and I am your God, decree of God, the Master. And that's what the word tells us in Ezekiel, but just such a powerful Ezekiel 34:1-11 through the end. This is what God is saying, just as our author echoed, but not near as powerfully as our God has said it in the book of Ezekiel. And he is speaking. He said, my human flock, that's us. That's who it is.
Yeah.
And those are,
yeah.
That is his covenant and his commitment of love to us. Hallelujah.
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 Yes.
We praise God. We thank him for this time of sharing.
Yes.
And that all has received from God the power to be God, to be God's
kid. Yes. Yes.
You know, and that circumstances, seasons, and situations, the river of God will never run dry, and we will not lack because the Lord is our shepherd. And we shall not want. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We hope to see everybody tomorrow at what is going to be a most powerful prophetic and apostolic summer strategy summon prayer breakfast. The people have been being in prayer and fasting. Preparation has gone forth on the physical, but more on the spiritual, so that the strategies of the Lord will flow through the people and the people will run with the vision and possess the land for the master.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We turn back to him, power and glory and honor and riches, all blessings. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Overseer?
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry to be so repetitive, but the book that we had again is Garden What?
A Gardener's Look at A gardener looks at the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay. And it's by Keller. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. And God bless. And I will see you tomorrow. And everybody.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Thank you.